What up, everyone? Welcome back to the Bellas Podcast.
Yes, welcome back. And you guys, we have so much to celebrate this week because Nicole finally moved to Napa.
That is right. And I'm just so proud of my man for winning this season of Dancing with the Stars.
Plus, Brian is back by popular demand for another hilarious edition of everyone's favorite game show, Bella Brains.
Ooh, I cannot wait for that.
All right, here we go.
Happy Wednesday, Bella Army. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Bree, and this is the Bella's Podcast.
Well, you guys, tis the season for Bree to put up a shit ton of Santa decorations.
That's right, and I just bought another one today. So let's pop that bottle.
All right, everyone. So today, Bree and I are opening up with L'Hermitage by Roeder Estate. It's a 2013 Brut. Because we are celebrating.
There's a lot to celebrate this episode.
But the main reason we are celebrating is because later on, we are bringing on the Mirrorball trophy holder winner of Dancing with the Stars, Artem.
And can I say the underdog? I felt like he was the underdog.
Did you see? I thought I had a great quote, not quote, comment. I put underneath this photo and I just said how he had the greatest fairy tale ending to the greatest underdog story.
He was kind of like Rudy. Do you remember
Beyond
Rudy?
Rudy? Because I love Rudy and that story is amazing and I cry every time I see it. But Artem, like, imagine being at the top of your game at Strictly in the UK and then you come to America, right? Where like it's all about dreams coming true. And that was 11 years ago. He has worked his way up and has just never gave up. And being cut a year ago, feeling like the dream was done. Well, okay, we're going to get into it later. But like, he won.
I know. I was so happy, I have to say. It was weird because both Brian and I got teary-eyed for him. Because we've known his fight. We've known what he's been through. And we're like, wow, like he deserves it.
He's really cried quite a few times. It's the cutest thing ever. He's on cloud nine. He's just so happy. And the love that people, I can't tell you how many text messages and DMs, like the list goes on of all these messages Artem got of everyone like, you deserve this. And he's one of the most humble people ever. Like even when you look at Val's posts and all these people's posts, that's when you truly know how actions speak louder than words and who Artem is as a person. He's not only an incredible human being, he's so humble and such a hard worker and never complains. Like you never think this guy at times got the short end of the stick. And look at, like everyone's coming out like, that guy is amazing. He deserved this. So
I agree with you.
I'm so proud of my baby. He's a winner. And let me tell you, that Mirrorball trophy is massive. Oh my goodness.
I would like to borrow it because I think it would really match my house really nicely for the holidays.
Well, I want to cut the ball in half and just drink out of it. So we'll just stick out of drinking out of our flutes for now. But we had to break open, you know, the bubbles.
I do have to say, I think it's really cool that Mateo gets to grow up where he sees his mother's longest reigning Divas championship belt and then his dad's Mirrorball trophy. That's pretty badass.
How cool that we both have championships.
In my house, it's just a bunch of WWE titles, which is pretty badass.
We got
the sparkles.
Yeah, actually.
The Divas championship.
We did. It did sparkle. Yeah, that's right. That's actually really cute. And I think what's really cute is he kept saying the season was for Teo. And the fact that he won for Mateo, I think that has made it more sincere and sweet to him. He dedicated it to his son and then he won it for his son. And I think as a father, even if it was a mother, like that's priceless.
I agree. And congratulations to Caitlin too. She killed it this season.
Yes. I know. I feel so bad because I feel like Artem was such an underdog that not that it's overshadowed, but all of us are just like, Artem, oh my gosh. Like
for sure. And all the pros were rooting for him. But congratulations, Caitlin. You killed it this season. It was fun. She did so great. From the beginning to the end to see every dance. And by far, the Moulin Rouge coming down from the ceiling. I love that. And I think the Britney Spears dance, I don't know which one I liked better. But girl, we're coming to Nashville. We're going to drink with you. We're going to hit up Tootsie's with that Mirrorball trophy.
That's right. You know what I loved about Caitlin is I know everyone was saying Nev, but Nev was so impressive from day one. Now, Caitlin was great from day one, but Caitlin also showed growth. Right. Nev was the same every week. And that's what Dancing with the Stars is all about. Like, we want to see people grow and like become better. And Caitlin started off great and she ended tremendous.
Right.
And that's who you vote for. And I know Bella Army and Bachelor Nation came in strong, but beyond that, it was beyond well-deserved. There's no denying it. Like, she legit showed growth. And look, Carrie Ann, and that's why, like, you know, I said my things about Carrie Ann. Carrie Ann saw that in her, picked on her, gave her great constructive criticism, and she came back stronger. And that's how you win it. That is what champions are made of.
I agree with you, sister. Well, speaking of champions, yeah. Who ate like champions on Thanksgiving?
Oh, gosh.
I actually have to say, very proud of myself. This is the first time in many, many years where I wasn't full. I left satisfied. I didn't feel like I overdid it. I felt perfect.
Well, Brie, as I remember, I don't think you and I even had a chance to be full because being a mom for my first time on a holiday, because I'm not counting Halloween, like where there's food and right. We hung out with some friends, and don't worry, everyone, we all quarantined. It was just Brie's family, my family, and four others that are in the same household. And I didn't even have a chance because like putting Mateo down and feeding him, like even if I wanted to stuff my face, I had no opportunity. Then helping you check on Bird.
You're burning calories as you eat.
I was burning, yeah. But then I would have to get up. Everyone's still at the dinner table and I had to get up and go. And I was like, you better tell me when dessert's coming out. I can't miss my pumpkin pie.
And I don't know about you listeners, but I'm definitely one of those people where I can go home and get really sad that I missed out on a dish. Like I can go home and be taking a shower and be like, I'm really sad I didn't get more of that because now I want it. Like I'm one of those. But I actually went home, took my shower, and I was like, I'm so happy I'm not stuffed. I'm so happy I'm not like grossed out with myself. Yeah. I didn't overdo it. I had one serving. It was very small portions.
Yeah.
And I was happy.
Did you have the yams? See, that's something I'm bummed. I went home thinking like, oh, I didn't
they
even
were
take
so
a,
good.
Oh, see, you almost shouldn't have told me that.
Nicole, they were so good.
Wow. That
I
was the one they came home and
the
I go, oh, I didn't grab the yams. Because I feel like I was the one person, when it's Thanksgiving, I have to put everything on my plate. I want to taste everything,
what everyone made.
Well, I didn't have enough room for my yams.
Did you see my section of the table? My soup bowl, my salad plate, and then the big plate with everything.
Oh, see, and on my big plate right in the middle, I like to put the mashed potatoes down first, and then I lay the turkey on top, and then I do the gravy, and then I put some goodies all around it. But I have to have that like in the middle. It's like my volcano, right? And then all of a sudden there was no space for yams. And then I was like trying to hold the monitor and then had to go grab Mateo. And I was sad because I never filled up my small plate or my salad or soup bowl.
See, this is where you and Artem got to become like the tag team. Because I looked at Brian and go, you got the kids, I got the food. And so I set up Brian's plates. Then I set up my plates. Then I go get Birdie's plate. Yeah. Like, I'm the girl who looks like I'm getting thirds, but I'm not. I'm just going to keep going in line for with the
family. I know,
family.
But Artem just got into Napa. He just won. And I really wanted him to just enjoy himself on Thanksgiving and have fun because he just came off of, like, such a hard 12 weeks. So that's why I was mainly in charge of Mateo.
So you sacrificed the yams for it.
I sacrificed the yams and the photos. I got cute photos of everyone else.
I know. I posted and I'm like, I have no photos of Nicole.
No one takes photos of me ever. I take photos of everyone, and I'm always just the one left out because I feel like I take care of everyone with food and photos and babies, and then everyone forgets about me.
There's some people who are good at like taking pictures, and there's some people who aren't. And unfortunately, you're surrounded by a lot of people who don't take photos. You know how many photos I forget?
Yeah.
And half the time, my daughter's yelling at me to put the camera down, so I really just don't take photos.
Mateo's already learned how to grab the camera, the phone out of my hand and throw it. And he's not even 4 months. And I'm like, this is an issue. And I'm not even on it that much around him, but he just knows that even when I am on it, it takes away attention from him. So he either does a fake cough or he checks it.
Well, unfortunately for me, I can't watch Netflix and breastfeed anymore because you see Buddy will literally try to watch upside down.
Dude, that's so amazing.
I literally have to like be quiet in the dark breastfeeding, and it feels like could be for hours just so Buddy won't get distracted. Like before you guys came today, I literally just started bursting out laughing because I was picturing just some of the craziness I put Brian through with holiday decorations.
Can you please tell him the story you just told me? Because I want to take a big gulp out of my champagne and relive this.
Okay, but really quick, before I do, I started laughing so hard and Buddy unlatched, looked up at me and started laughing, like laughing. Brian couldn't believe it. And then I was trying to get him to breastfeed, latch, and do it again. And he wouldn't. Then he just wanted to stare at me and laugh. Before, I used to kick up my feet, breastfeed. I'm like, I'll scroll the gram. I'll do a little Netflix, do something. And now it's like quiet. Don't even laugh, Brie. Don't make a move. Don't make eye contact. You're just here to feed.
Yeah.
Nothing more.
That's it, girl.
So, but okay. So the funny story.
Yeah. First of all, I love when I walked in the house to the Danielsons right now. And Brian goes, how much is too many Santas?
Okay, so I'm addicted to Santas.
Brie loves to fill her house with Santas. And it made me laugh so hard because she literally had texted me 20 minutes before of another Santa she should buy. She goes, is this Santa or this Santa? So when I walk in and Brian asking that, it just made my day. That was amazing.
How much is too many? I have probably, we'll have to count. I definitely have over 10 Santas. I could be pushing 18. But this is my thing. Christmas comes once a year. And I want my house to feel like Christmas Village. I want you to walk in. I want it to smell like Christmas. I want you to feel like Christmas. It's this one time we get to do it.
And I have to say, yours does. And every time I walk in and the smell and the feel, I get very excited. I love the hollies. That's why Artem and I come over here and have happy hour because I love the feel of it.
Exactly. And I'm not even done yet.
Yeah.
Don't tell Brian.
Oh, shoot.
So when Brian and I bought our first house together in Arizona, I bought this Santa Claus with a sleigh. And I go, oh my gosh, Brian, I want this on the roof because it lights up. Because how cute when kids, you know, drive by the house. They'll be like, look, there's Santa on the roof. And Brian goes, you can't put that on a roof. I'm like, yes, you can. He's like, but the roof slides down. I don't understand. And I'm like, trust me. Like, just, you know, crazy wife. I think I know everything. So Brian goes, we'll try. And literally, poor guy climbs the roof and we had this little brick wall in front. So I'm on my tiptoes trying to like give it to him, but it's so heavy, like bouncing. And he's like, I don't know. How do I attach it? And I'm like, figure it out. Just so mad thinking if I was on the roof, I would have figured it out. And sure enough, he goes, well, look it. And he puts it up and it just slides off.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh. I just think of the sweat, how heavy.
Oh and, gosh. And I can only imagine you on a brick wall, like trying to throw it up at him.
And I don't know why. I mean, there's no way it would have fit unless we had a flat roof, but we didn't.
You were imagining the cartoon you used to watch when you were a kid and Santa would park a sleigh on a slanted roof and that's what you thought really happened. And well, no.
Yeah, and I just want to know how people put Santas up on roofs because I see it. I see it.
Well, there's probably a flat part in it, Brie.
I don't know. I think there's a secret to it and I'm going to figure out that secret.
Well, speaking of Christmas decorating and being here in Napa Valley, Artem and I now are officially residents.
Can we just cheers to that?
Here. That a girl. Mm-hmm. We are officially Napa residents. And I have to say, we both have been just in heaven. Like, we've driven around. We've done a lot of walking. And both Artem and I are like, this is home. And it's exciting because we went to our home. And, you know, we're fully renovating it. So we actually are in a rental. We won't get to move into our home. We're praying 3 months. I mean, we don't even have plans yet. All we know is like, we're going to, I think, start to get it in 2 weeks.
So more like 6.
Yeah. We have inspo boards on Pinterest.
Well, there you go.
But what was neat is we went in there and he had the Mirrorball trophy. I was just like, Artem, this is our first home together. A home that we're going to completely gut and like we're coming together with the ideas and we're making ours. And like, we were just walking around the neighborhood and we are in downtown Napa today. And we were just like, I can't believe this is home. This is like amazing. And we're just on cloud 9. You know, when you know you made a right move, even though it's been stressful and
right, but you just feel it. You feel it in your heart. You feel it in like your energy, everything, mind, body, and soul. It's crazy. And that's what I was telling you. Cause when I first moved here before you, I was like, Nicole, trust me.
Yeah.
I can't wait for you to be here because I just know. I just know exactly what you're going to feel. Yeah. You're going to know like this is it. And that's why you guys were so excited because Total Bellas, we, you know, Thanksgiving, we took a little pause. So you guys can enjoy the holidays, but we start back up tomorrow on E at 9 o'clock, 9, 8 central. And you do see the slow journey of us moving to Napa Valley. So it's going to be fun towards the end of the season when you see our craziness getting here.
Well, this is the thing. We knew. Everyone needs to watch and get your friends to watch, because if we pick up season 7, oh my goodness, it's going to be Napa Valley.
And people are probably going to see you in Artem wedding plan, right?
Yeah. Our goal is to get married in the fall 2021. So we are praying that COVID is under control. We are mask free, or we figure out a way how to do it. But we just want people to come together for an amazing weekend of fun, festivities, family, good friends, love, light. Because if Dancing with the Stars comes back in the fall again, I'm just, you know, prepping. And that would be sometime in November, December.
That'd be,
I would love November. And in November would be my goal. Wouldn't that be beautiful? And I've always wanted a wedding like that. Like that time of year and the look. So, oh my gosh. Well, let's just bring him on.
Yeah.
And you know what, Brie? This is what I was thinking. Because you guys, with the pandemic and COVID getting a little worse again, we have no help. So I always interview Artem, and I think maybe it'll be fun you interviewing Artem about his journey on Dancing with the Stars as I go watch Mateo and bounce him around. What do you say?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, I'm about to go get the man of the hour.
Just tell Artem. I'm not going to put him in the hot seat.
Well, remember, you are Brie Bella, so you do put people in the hot seat.
But this is going to be a different type of seat.
Okay, it better be.
It is. And I have to say, I actually feel honored that I get to interview Artem because this is a huge moment in his life. This was a really big season for him. So I'm going to give the people what they want. And that's a damn good interview. So go get him.
All right.
All right, you guys, it's who you've all been waiting for, the man of the hour. Actually, it's going to be the man of the year.
Damn, Artem. That sounds great. I like that. The man of the year.
Man of the year. Damn it. People already did man of the year because you could have been the cover of that. But in our hearts, you're the man of the year, Artem.
Oh, thank you.
And congratulations. You know, it's crazy because Nicole and I were talking earlier, just what a ride this has been for you, like getting cut last season, and then you come on this season, you're the total underdog, and you won it. You won. And you know, it was crazy because Brian and I, we got so teary-eyed, and I loved it because Brian's like, he worked so damn hard for it, and he got it. And you've worked hard since you've been a little kid, but I mean, what does it feel like? Tell us all. Every emotion, everything that's going through your head, everything. We need everything.
It's really, I mean, you kind of been on this journey from kind of the start of it, isn't it? When everything started happening. So being on the show for so many years, then last year not even being part of the show, which was super hard. And I think you witnessed how hard it was. And I think the hardest part as well, I really tried not to get back to dancing. I feel like that was for me the time where I felt like, okay, one door closed and now there's something else got to be open. So I was trying to so hard to find what would fulfill me in the way, like I started cooking and I started building and I started doing a whole bunch of other things, which is, I still love doing it, don't get me wrong, but it still never hit that like this epic part of me being, yes, this is what I meant to do. So really struggling. And I did write in one of the posts when I post about the winning situation where I did feel that I was depressed. And I think Nicole witnessed that as well. And it's hard because when you're depressed, you feel like you have no purpose. It was really, really hard. On top of it, because of the COVID, you can't even do anything. So it's like, it's even worse because then you're stuck in four walls. You can't even go anywhere. And thankfully for Nicole, she was there for me and she was always trying to make me motivated for things and like believe in myself and like keep telling me how talented I was. And I'm really grateful for that to Nicole, absolutely, because I don't know even what I would have been if not for her, you know? So imagine trying to not be part of dancing. Pretty much, actually, what I've done, I've never told this to anybody. I actually, what is the thing you can do on Instagram where you like, and you don't block people, but you like mute. Don't see, you mute. I've muted a lot of dancing friends because like it was so hard for me to watch the posts from the season and just kind of like.
Have you unmuted them now?
Well, yeah, of course I have. Yeah, definitely. I feel like as soon as I got dance, it's like, okay, it's time to like get back to what's happening in the world of dance. But it was really tough. So kind of really tried to forget the whole idea of dancing. And even Nicole was trying to like TikTok videos and a bunch of other things. And I was like, I wasn't really into it because I just felt like, am I good enough to do it? I mean, maybe I was cut for a reason, you know? I was always trying to find that reason why. Mm. And Nicole, she's the one who told me, look, contact the producers of dancing and tell them that you would love to be part of the season and just really go for it. Just, I mean, what else can you lose? You know, like, this is nothing to lose. You're already in a position where you...
You lost
like,
it.
Yeah, you've got nothing to lose. So, and I did text Dina, one of the executive producers, and then I talked to Andrew, who is one of the executive producers too, and it worked out. They gave me a call back and they're like, hey, yeah, we want you to be part of the season. Which my first thought, of course, besides the excitement, besides like, oh my God, I have this thing that I've been dreaming for, and now I even can appreciate more because I was not part of it last time. So, but one thing really stuck to my mind is that they really taking chance on me in a way, you know, and like, am I going to prove them right? Like they didn't make a mistake bringing me back.
It's a lot of pressure on you.
It's huge amount of pressure. And then going back to LA, leaving Nicole with a 4-week old Mateo, which was terrifying as well. I was like, okay, I'm doing this and I'm not even sure if it's going to play out right.
Right.
You know, so I had this thought, okay, just enjoy it, make a closure. This is your last season. Appreciate every single second of it and just go with it. And whatever happens, happens. And then next thing you know, I'm having Caitlin as dance partner. And kind of like give you a little bit of backstory. We're supposed to be partners 5 years ago. And then something happened that she wasn't be able to do it. And I did not have a partner that season.
Were you on?
Yes, I was still on. She literally got dropped off like a day before... day before everyone started training.
So were you just on as like troop, like the backup dancers?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
wow.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's so hard. People don't understand entertainment. Like every day is a guessing game.
Absolutely. You never know how it's going to play out.
You don't.
And even when I knew back 5 years ago that I knew that Caitlin would be an amazing contestant for the show because she would definitely would go to the final. She would definitely will probably, you know, going to try to win the show. So now getting Caitlin as a partner, I was like, shit, now it's even more pressure because now I have no excuse but do amazing. You know, there is like, I've got no excuse but be brilliant every week, you know?
Yeah.
So that pressure, like on top of it too. And it's 11-week long show. And it's like every single week you got to deliver, you know? So expectations was definitely super high, not just from the audience watching her perform, but as well from myself to prove, not even to the show that, like, I'm worth being on it, but as well proving to myself because I was so mentally, I don't think, in the greatest place because I always doubt every single decision I make.
Right.
I think what people don't realize is that being a professional dancer on Dancing with the Stars, it's not just about dancing. It's as well about teaching because you teach your partner every single step. You have to make those decisions because you, in the kind of like in such a short period of time, like let's say what, 5 days of training, you have to create a dance, you have to teach them a dance, and then you have to make sure that they know the dance and they can perform it and perform to the level you expect them to do.
Right.
So there's a lot of pressure, and every single day you make certain decisions. Like, for example, I go into the rehearsals on Tuesday. I have like in my mind what exactly I want to do stepwise. But to tell you the truth, it never works. Tell you the truth, 50% might work, 40% might work, or maybe even 80% might work, but you never really know what's going to happen. And every single day after that, you dance that routine that for example, you create in the first 2 days. And then you eliminate certain steps and put another one in. So you want to kind of perfect it in a way. But perfection doesn't come from just rehearsing it. Perfection also comes from if that celebrity would be able to do those steps already good enough on the day two, because then you can make it look great. But if it doesn't look good on day two, you have to take those steps out and you have to find something different that makes them look good. So there is so many decisions you have to make during those 5 days, every single week of training. And then even like with Caitlin, when we dance, I remember even on Sundays, I changed the steps.
Wow.
And Monday we have to perform. Because I was like, okay, this step does look okay, but it doesn't look great. So I have to find something else that she will be comfortable enough changing within a day and would look good on her and she would look confident enough to perform it. So there's every single week, there is so many endless decisions you have to make. And a lot of times, like you make routine too hard and then you like... doubting was that too hard. So it's like, it always happens when you sleep at night. Those decisions always go through your head and run through your head like during the nighttime, because like, okay, next morning I have to like fix it. I have to figure it out how to do it. So having this constant pressure added on to it, and besides what you already have heard, proving to producers, proving to myself, and proving to, like, you know, just the audience that I'm worth being on the show, and I can choreograph, and I can teach, and I can make great numbers. So it wasn't easy, but at the same time, after every single week we performed that Monday night, the amount of relief and the amount of, I don't know, gratitude for the things like, yes, I made it work. I did this. So it's like, you can see the instant result, instant progress. Like, wow, it was so worth it, you know?
Yeah.
And every single week it was kind of like you have more appreciation and more and more and more and more, because you can see where your partner started and see like how far they come every single week.
And you
so,
could see her grow this season. Like, yeah, you know, just being a viewer watching, I was like, wow, seeing Caitlin in the beginning right to the end, there was yeah so much growth, which was so fun yeah to watch.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well, the reason why I think she won is, I mean, obviously when you look at the final, we have Niamh, who was so brilliant as well every single week. I think what Caitlin's journey was is that struggle week 6, 7, and 8, where it was like a huge question mark, would she be good enough to prove the judges if she's good enough for right us, you know? So I feel like she did start super strong, you know, and then it kind of like curved down week 7 and 8 when Carrie-Anne mentioned like, this is your second not greatest dance, not a great dance. And I even looking back right now thinking like, wow, this comment was a very strong comment to make. And it definitely affected not just Caitlin, but also myself, because when they're talking about Caitlin's performance, it's direct judgment to me. And I'm kind of want to explain why, is because my decisions in rehearsals make what she look like on the dance floor. So
right,
if I would make routine easy and she would look much happier and more confident, maybe the comments would be different, you know? But I also a big believer in the show is that you don't just give them steps that they're good at. You also try to teach them steps and try to make them improve and be better. So for me, it was also trying to teach her those type of steps and make routine hard enough that she can improve and be better at it. So yeah, I think because of her journey, I think the result of it that people voted for her to win as well, I think played a huge, huge part.
I agree. Well, and you know, something that you were going through compared to any other pro is that you had a newborn. You have yeah a newborn son. And so, I mean, you're talking about sleepless nights, so your energy yeah levels. You also, you know, Nicole was very vocal about how her with her postpartum depression, which yeah deals with a lot of hormones. So you also had to deal with that. So, I mean, I remember there were so many times my mom and I were on the phone talking, like, we felt so bad for Art. I'm like, this has to be so hard on him. Not only is this a comeback season for him, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on him. And just like you told everyone, you have to choreograph, you have to put these dances together, then you have the pressure of making Caitlin look good and wanting that Mirrorball trophy. Like, there's so much. And then a newborn baby, and then, you know, a fiance who's going through all that. Like, yeah, you had a lot on your shoulders,
yeah,
but it is so impressive that you went to the finals and you won.
I don't know how it worked out. And I also want to say that I think till when we made it to the final, that's when I thought like, oh, we can actually win this. Before that, I didn't even had a thought about yeah it. Yeah, you obviously talk about it because, you know, that's the whole concept of the show.
Exactly.
Was like, do you want to win? It's like, yeah, I want to win. But in reality, it wasn't my goal in a sense. I never
right
wanted to like, yes, I want that trophy from the beginning to end. I'm just going to fight for that trophy. That was not my mind set up. As you said, because usually when I did the previous seasons, I can come home and I can like do research on the dance and try to figure it out. Like, it's more going into it. As now, this season, it was more about I'm rehearsing for X amount of hours. Which we started actually with 3 hours a day, and we end up probably like 6 hours a day towards the final. And I'm going home, and I'm just being with Mateo, you know?
Like, bouncing Mateo on
yeah
a ball.
That's pretty much what the life was. So I kind of like switched off my mind completely. As soon as I got home, I think there was like a one day where I was like so not prepared to go to rehearsal, and I was like, okay, I need to like listen to the song at least to know what the counts are of the song, you know.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it before because right. I just don't want to be distracted, you know. I want to be there for Nicole and for Matteo. So maybe it's a blessing in disguise too, because sometimes you can so overthink it right. and make it so hard and make it mentally so much harder for yourself. I think maybe because I had to switch off completely and not think of that kind of helped me not to, you know, go complete nuts and crazy. So it might be extra blessing in disguise.
Yeah. And this season, when you came into it, was there something in your head that you're like, I'm going to do differently than I've done the last 9 years? I mean, yes, yeah. you had to prove something to them, but what was it that you felt like you had to do different?
Well, one of the notes when I was talking to producers is like, you have this competitive side to you. And I agree, every single ballroom dance have a competitive side, because right. all we did when you do ballroom dancing, you compete against other people. So it's like the second nature to be competitive with everybody else, you know? And one of the notes that I've heard about me not being part of last season is like, you're just too competitive. We just want you to have fun. And I really took that as, I think probably first 6 weeks, that's how I felt too. I felt like, yeah, just have fun. Who cares? Like, right. do dance, enjoy what you're doing, enjoy the moment, go out there performing, teach your partner, make sure she's having fun. And so as long as you have that that chemistry of like, we're just here to have fun and nothing else, like it will definitely translate better into the camera, into the TV, into your video packages before the dances. So I really was trying to not think of too much like of that Mirrorball trophy, you know, like right. as I used to week one's like, okay, I got to really strike that week one and go strong every week. So I think that was different, but it also changed once you start getting this type of a feedback as the judges were giving us week 6, 7, and 8. We kind of like start thinking, okay, this is not just fun. You also have to like prove to the judges. And then it was like a whole different goal to them. I think that dynamic did change a bit from week 6. But before week 6, I think it was pretty like a smooth ride. We were just like, cool, come to rehearsal, do a dance, rehearse as many hours as we can, just go out there, perform and do our best. But it was never about like, let's get the highest scores. No, it was never about that.
Yeah. So you've won the trophy, and that means you're guaranteed for next season, right?
That is not true.
Oh, it's not?
Not true. So two contestants in the past who won the trophy
right,
didn't
Sharna.
Got back. Sharna is one of them, and Kim Johnson is also one of them. I believe, if I'm wrong, please guys correct me, but I think Kim Johnson, when she won her last Mirrorball trophy, I think she wasn't back the season after that. So you just never know. I'll okay. be honest with you.
Gosh, so you have to go through the whole emotional roller coaster again.
I don't know. I think experiencing once when you're not part of the show and had certain regrets, like, okay, you didn't really achieve as much as you'd like to. I feel like now, I mean, it's still going to be probably hard because I really love what I do and I really love to create dance and teach and be able to see that. I mean, on national television doesn't right. hurt either, but be able to see that come to life. But I think because I've kind of accomplished what I've accomplished this season, I don't think it's going to be as painful in a sense, because it's kind of like, cool, I've done that, you know, I right. know how that feels. I would never wonder how it would feel to win, or how it would feel to be in the final, or how it would feel to get a perfect score, because prior to getting it, I never even got a perfect score on
wow.
the show. I mean, I had the very great success in UK and winning actually my very first season in UK of Strictly Come Dancing, which is the same show as Dancing with the Stars. And 10 years later, I'm getting my second Mirrorball trophy.
So cool.
Not date to date, but it's like a few weeks off, but it'll be 10 years exact. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it will be as painful, I think. And painful also, like speaking real elaborately. It's not painful. It's just kind of like, it's sucks. That's probably the best way of describing it. Sucks.
Yeah, well, then it'll be interesting to see like what next season brings. But
yeah.
before we go, I have to say, your mom's your biggest fan.
Yeah.
I mean, your mom, it's what I love is now, you know, I'm a mom and, you know, now Nicole being one too, is you always want the best for your kids. But your mom literally has supported this. How old were you when you started dancing?
I was 13.
13?
Yeah.
Wow. What was the first thing she said to you when you won?
You know, she just teared up from completely this joy feeling and just said, like, I can't believe it. My mom is, She's like one of the most realist person you're probably going to meet, because she's not going to sugarcoat it. She'll tell you exactly how she feels and what she thinks. And even on the final day when we talked before, she's like, just enjoy. You're probably not going to win. Just enjoy, because she's like, I don't think it's possible, because very the same person won last season. And it's kind of like, what a coincidence, the two people from the same bachelorette could come in year after year and win, you know? So she's like, it's probably not going to happen. So just enjoy, have fun. Just be happy you would have made it that far, because you've never done this in the US, which is true. Part of me kind of like actually got like not upset about it, but kind of made me feel like, oh, even my mom doesn't believe I can do this. But after I won, she like trying to explain why she said that is because like, I just did not want to give you high hopes because of the reality what happened to you last year. She just said, set your goals really low, and when you achieve them, you'll feel a lot happier. So yeah, that was her strategy.
I love that. And Nicole told me she had many tears, which is cute. And Nicole also told all of us how many tears you've shed for winning.
Oh my God, it's crazy. I was like, I think there is a video. I don't know if it's been surfaced on online, but towards the end of the final, where obviously show ended, there's a huge thank you goes around to the crew people and the judges and the hosts and the creators and the producers. And Caitlin and myself would have to give a speech towards the end. It was like speech, speech, speech. And I think I gave that speech. It was super emotional, because it's hard to completely open up in front of people you know for 10 years.
Right.
What happened to you last year? Because you kind of want to stay strong and don't show your weakness. And I think for the first time, I kind of like actually spoke loudly of how it made me feel not being part of last year, and what it means to for me to be standing there with the Mirror Ball trophy. Like, so you kind of can understand what really going through my mind and how much happiness I experienced getting it. Yeah, it was definitely very, very, very emotional speech, and definitely teared up. And I don't, even till nowadays, I just don't feel like it happened to me. I'm like, I observe from the side watching it, and kind of like even go on my Instagram when I post and look at the photo, and like, I don't even remember this. Like, it does not, I don't think I was fully there when that happened. I just don't know where I was.
I love that. And you know what I find the greatest part about is that every week you kept saying, do it for Mateo.
Yeah.
Or do it for Teo. And you did. And like, that's something he'll be able to look back on.
Yeah.
And I just, it's, you know what? I believe in fairy tales. When people say they don't believe in fairy tales, how can you not? Because here we just saw one.
Yeah.
And so, and I know from the listeners to myself, from so many people, from the bottom of all of our hearts, we're so happy for you. Oh, so
thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I hope I see you on the next season, because when I watch, and I'm not being biased, I just, you're such an amazing dancer.
Oh,
and it's so fun to watch you dance. And I can only imagine your mom when she gets to see you dance.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's something you're so great at and you're so natural at that I don't want that to ever end. So
thank you. Yeah. Hey, well, if they have you back next year, it would be great. But again.
And hopefully next year, fingers crossed, COVID is gone, so we can all see you live in person. And Mateo can come. I'm missing that. I'm missing watching stuff like live. I'm, you know, so hopefully next season.
You know what? Even being part of this season, obviously we're watching from like the balconies. It's like weird, because we haven't been exposed to live entertainment for like a year, at least for myself. And watching that, it was just kind of like bizarre, because you're like, oh wow, it's happening live. Oh my God.
Live, and there's like no one out there.
And actually, no one there.
That had to be weird.
You don't, because for celebrities who entered this season, it was no any different, because they don't know any different, to be honest. But I think for the pros, it was kind of like bizarre feeling, because so how we normally do it, we have a dress rehearsal on Monday, which has happened about 1 p.m. for 2 hours, and then we're doing live show starting 5 p.m. LA time. So it just felt like two dress rehearsals, because normally you do dress rehearsals with our audience, and the 5 o'clock audience come in and you do exactly the same show at 5 o'clock. But in this case, there was no audience at all, which is also kind of a bit of a relief, because once audience is there, your celebrity doesn't definitely get lost, because then it's sort of like walls or mirrors. It can see people's yes. faces, and those people's faces have reactions, and then it might throw you off.
Right. And it's know? Like usually people, you know, which is always harder to do it in front of people, you know.
Absolutely.
Actually, yeah. I agree. Actually, Dancing Stars would probably be easier to do with no audience.
I think it's easier for celebrity. Yeah. I think it's harder for the pros, but also it's less rewarding because you don't, like, you do the whole dance and there is no cheers.
See, that's how Brian will always come with wrestling.
You know what
you
I mean?
You want to do these spots for a live crowd, but they're not there to give you that reaction.
So you can't, like, you can't play off it, you know?
That's
hard. Sometimes when the audience go crazy with a cool trick, like, it gives you a boost of energy to go and do better and gives you, like, a whole bunch of energy to continue. But this time it definitely was not the case. But at the same time, I think the compromise of that was this amazing stage that we had. I mean, those lights and lightings and effects, I mean, it definitely like boost up your performance aspect, you know?
Right.
I mean, yeah, there is definitely loss and gains from it, but I mean, it did great. I mean, the season was great.
The season was awesome. So fingers crossed for next season. And Artem might have melted our hearts right now, but I have to get my brain working because Brian is back for another edition of Bella Brains. All right, I know you guys have been waiting for this for a long, long time, but our Bella Brains host is back. Give it up for my hubby, Daniel Bryan.
Thank you, Bree. Always glad to be back for another edition of Bella Brains, the hilarious weekly game show where we keep score to see who has the stronger Bella Brain.
And we're keeping track of who wins each week, and the first person to 5 wins a donation of their favorite charity paid for by the loser. The score is currently, well, we actually don't know because we haven't done this in a really long time. So we're going to start it with 0-0.
All right, who's going to win the first round? Let's find out. It's time for another edition of
Bella Brains, Bella Brains, Bella Brains.
All right, who's going to leave the room first?
I'll leave the room first. Nicole, you can start.
All right, Nicole, are you ready?
I'm ready.
You haven't done this for a long time.
I know, so I don't know to be nervous or just be amped and pumped.
Yeah, well, this is a topic that you know pretty well. This week's edition of Bella Brains is all about food.
Yeah. I'm winning this.
All right. First question. What fruit is dried to become a prune?
Apricots. Prunes.
What fruit is dried to become a prune?
Oh.
One more guess.
Oh, shoot. Dang it. Now I get it. I mean, it's purple. Wow. A grape? I was going to say a raisin, but a raisin's dried up.
A plum.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Dang it.
Well,
damn.
Missed the first one. Okay.
That's second a really good question, actually.
What animal meat is called venison?
Oh. Calf? Venison?
Venison.
Moose? I don't even think you could eat moose.
I think you can.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, people hunt moose.
Oh, that's so messed up. Deer?
Ding, 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 ding. And I could tell by the inflection of your voice.
Yeah.
That was a wild guess.
Wild guess.
Okay. So you've got one. Final question. What ingredient makes bread and cakes rise?
Oh, yeast.
Ding, 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 ding. Two out of three.
So you got a man who cooks sourdough.
Yeah.
Yeast like a baby. Okay, I'm going to grab Brie.
Okay.
All right, sweet face, I'm going to have to do this breastfeeding.
Well, that's actually perfect because this week's episode of Bella Brains is all about food.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, question number one. What fruit is dried to become a prune?
How many guesses do I get?
Three, you get three guesses.
A prune?
A prune, yeah.
Yeah?
No, yeah. No. What fruit is dried to become a prune?
She said a prune.
A prune is your answer?
Yeah.
A prune is dried to become a prune?
Well, isn't there prune juice? Isn't that like, you know, to like poop? Okay, whatever. Obviously, that's wrong. A raisin?
Oh my gosh. A raisin is a dried grape.
That's two.
Okay.
What fruit is dried to become a prune?
Date? Oh my gosh. Is that wrong?
It is wrong. The answer is plum.
Plum? They're dried out?
To become a prune, yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay, question number two. What animal meat is called venison?
Deer.
Ding, 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 yes! Ding, 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 ding. Okay, third and final question. What ingredient makes bread and cakes rise?
Oh, I know this. I know this. Gluten?
What was that word? Say that word again. I think the listeners would like to hear that word again.
Glutton.
I'm not convinced that that's
a
word.
It's a mixture of that. I think I'm trying to say gluten and something else.
Clay.
I know what it is because I've done this. You need to make sure you have your... Nicole got this because Artem always makes bread.
Mm-hmm. But she did have a hard time with the animal meat one.
I know it. I hate this. Can I have a hint?
I don't know, Nicole. You're here. What do you think? Do you think she gets a hint?
I mean, technically you shouldn't, but sure.
Because it's the holidays. Let's be jolly.
Okay, let's be jolly.
It starts with a Y.
A Y?
Why?
Why?
You do Chef Brie on YouTube, right?
Yeah, but I stay away from the breads. a why? I mean, come on. And it makes it rise.
It makes bread rise.
I am actually shocked you don't know this. Like, even with Artem not cooking bread, I knew this.
Okay, so you got your flour, you got your water, got your eggs.
Brian, is there a time limit?
Well, so I could have said the same thing for you about the animal meat one. So.
But this one's way longer.
Yeah. Okay, buddy, help me. Buddy, you know it?
The time limit is 5 minutes and 44 seconds because that's when I have to go get the sweet potato fries.
Okay, why? Yeast!
Ding, 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 yes! Ding, ding, ding. All right, so now...
A tiebreaker, my favorite, because I'm so good.
Okay. So, the first person to answer this question right wins this edition of Bella Brains. Are you ready?
Yes. Yes.
How many items are usually found in a baker's dozen?
12.
12.
I said before. No.
No.
10.
No.
8.
6.
No.
15.
No.
14.
16.
No.
None.
No. Baker's dozen is none?
24.
No. Oh, you guys are making Bud cry.
9.
No.
It's not 5.
Can you use any sort of reasoning? Like try to use logic for this, 5. Please. Why would it be 5?
24.
Why would a baker's dozen be 5?
24?
Okay.
He wouldn't double a dozen?
No. If you order a dozen
yeah.
and he wanted to give you a little extra, how many would 13. He give you?
13.
Ding, 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 ding,
oh ding, ding. Yes. A 1. Oh. Now I know what a baker's dozen is. I never knew.
Oh, gosh.
And I thought they were just hitting on me.
Whoa. Okay. Well, I hope you everybody learned a lot from that episode of Bella Brains. That brings the current score to 1-0 Nicole. So join us again next week for another edition of
Bella Brains, Bella Brains, Bella Brains. Bella Brains.
Thanks for tuning in to today's podcast.
Yes, thanks for tuning in. And a huge thank you to my fiance, Artem, for coming on the show. Oh my gosh, I still can't believe he's the Mirrorball Trophy winner.
I know.
He won Dancing with the Stars.
That's right, the underdog. You deserved every part of it, Artem. And make sure to tweet us your questions for Bella Army Q&A with the hashtag Bella's Podcast.
And call 833-QBellas to ask us for on-air advice in our segment, Dear Bellas.
Show us love by rating the show, leaving a review, and hitting subscribe.
And we have an Instagram exclusively dedicated to the Bellas Podcast, so make sure to follow us at the Bellas Podcast.
Special thanks to Brian for being such a great Bella Brains host.
Until next week, remember to stay fearless.
And you'll always go Brie mode if you drink along with us.
See you next Wednesday.
And as Birdie likes to say,
bye-bye.